There's even preachers in America that are so amped up that they're basically just literally calling for all Palestinians to just be genocided. And it's not even hyperbole. I want to play a clip here from your favorite preacher, Greg Locke. And this guy is really showing his pro-Israel side here. Let's play a quick clip from him. Clip number one, Greg Locke and his comments on Israel.
Blow them shofars. Whoever got a shofar in the house, I don't even care if you're up here or not, just blow them shofars. When they blow them shofars, I want you to lift the lid off this place with shout to the Lord. Boom! Somebody says, well, what's the land deed to the nation of Israel? Right here's the deed to their land, right here. Any nation that turns against the Jewish people is in the sewer dump of history. Any individual that turns against the Israeli nation, any church, any community, any group, any sect, any denomination that has ever come out against the nation of Israel is in the sewer dump of the Encyclopedia Britannica. That's the facts. The reason God has blessed America so greatly is not because we're so wonderful and so righteous. Good grief, we're unrighteous right now. It's because we've been an ally and a friend to the nation of Israel. That is why God has blessed us. Israel should make the Gaza Strip a parking lot by this time next week. Destroy the whole thing. What they ought to do is evacuate up there on the hill and get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now so we can get that third temple rebuilt and usher in the coming of Jesus. $5,000, boom, automatically comes out of the Global Vision Bible Church account and goes straight to Israel. It's the first of the month. We tithe to God's people literally every single month. Because when I say stuff like this, we get letters in the mail and we get like phone calls. And look, save your letter, save your stamp, save your phone call, save your text message, save your Instagram, save all of it. If you're going to try to tell me about these fake Jews that are the synagogue of Satan and this is not really the nation of Israel, save your breath. Because I'm not hearing it. I'm not paying you any credence whatsoever. We're not having coffee about it. You can mail me 1,000 books and on October 31st, I'll put them in the witchcraft pile when we burn the rest of that occult nonsense. Everybody hearing me?
So apparently Greg Locke's going to get a bunch of books of the Revelation and burn them here at the end of the month since he's so against any rhetoric against Israel. I think he needs to read Revelation 2 and 3 again where it talks about the Jews and how they're the synagogue of Satan. But really, I mean, that clip is mind-boggling because I feel like you could preach a whole sermon. I mean, there was so much material. I do want to focus on one part initially, and that's just the idea of him saying, let's just turn the Gaza Strip into a parking lot. You know, often the new IFB gets accused of preaching genocide and being really hateful and wanting a bunch of people to die, but I don't remember anybody or one of my friends ever suggesting just mass murder of any group of people whatsoever, especially including women and children, which would be the casualties here. And I've even seen many people saying, well, that's just the casualties of war. People from the Daily Wire and from other institutions. I mean, how can you be a Christian and call for the murder of women and children? What are your thoughts about this, Pastor Berzins?
Well, I think that's nuts. I didn't get to see the whole clip, but yeah, I mean, people who are just war, it just goes to this political, you know, these Baptists and other Christians out there that have let politics take over their belief in the Bible, because obviously you read the Bible, you're not going to see anywhere where we're fighting against flesh and blood. I mean, we're in a spiritual warfare, and just that people are so gung-ho and it's this neocon influence from the Republican Party of, you know, this warmongering.
Pastor Thompson, you know, Greg Locke seems like a really stand-up guy, you know, such a great wonderful pastor. I mean, didn't he? I think he divorced his wife and ran off with the secretary to start his church here, where he's.
You got the order
shawl.
Wrong. He ran off with the secretary, then divorced his wife.
Right. Oh, okay,
that's
sorry.
The way these things work. Yeah.
Well, I know he was within a relationship, yeah. But of course, you know, he was being attacked by his own wife or something like that. But what are your thoughts here on this Greg Locke commentary? Why is he so pro-Zionist, anyways?
I have no idea. I don't really know a lot about, except for what you just said, and I see his clips shared of just his insanity of preaching, if you can call it that. But I mean, he's just, let's blow the shofars. I mean, that's the first thing he's saying in his clip. It's just like he's Judaizing everybody there. They got the Star of Rem fan waving, you know, back and forth on the stage there. It's just garbage. It's promotion of war. It's, you know, and politics is one of his big things that I've seen clips of. And
he's
it's
been
like
that way for years.
Yeah, but there's more. You know, out of Baptist churches or all churches, it seems like nowadays, there's more of a push, a promotion of politics and who to vote for over soul winning and things and sound Bible preaching and doctrine.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that maybe these people should have participated in some soul winning geared toward Muslims, and then maybe they wouldn't just hate all Muslims and wish that they would all die.
He's also talking about burning literature that is replacement theology. I'm kind of curious, Pastor Burrs, what do you think about this idea of just like burning books that disagree with you on some kind of a doctrine?
Well, when it comes to just disagreeing on doctrine, I don't see any reason to burn books, right? I mean, you ought to be able to have an intellectual debate or conversation about certain doctrines and stuff, but I mean, if we're talking about witchcraft or something, that's a whole different story, right?
And that's so, what like, he tried to say it was.
If it's,
yeah.
He said, we're going to burn it along with all the witchcraft books.
That's ridiculous.
So he's trying to use that as justification.
Yeah. So it's obviously reaching. It's
yeah, he said replacement theology is witchcraft, according to him.
So if you find like...
How do you even argue with that? I mean, the guy's just nuts. That's... You can't take a rational... You know, have a rational discussion with someone that's going so far off the reservation just to say that, like, oh, yeah, if you believe this doctrine, it's just witchcraft. And it's, like, a doctrine that's been held for, like, replacement theology is, it's not brand new. Okay, it's been around for so long. Like, I mean, how many of the reputable, you know, like, Reformation, believers and all these other people that you could reference...
You'd have to burn
theology.
All the church
fathers.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just
I mean,
like...
Most of them were replacement theologians.
Well, I'm okay with burning them.
Okay.
A bunch of stinking Catholics.
Except anyway. For John Chrysostom.
I mean,
we'll give him a pass.
I mean, I think there's always historical value in keeping books, but I'm not against burning books either. Obviously, the Bible right. even talks about people burning books, but it's funny that instead of defeating the doctrine of replacement theology, let's just burn the book. Because, you know, that's not really... They don't really have an argument. It's just a... An emotional appeal argument that, oh, this just is obviously so bad because we just love Israel so much and we're going to wear
their
shirt.
His point was, I won't listen. Send me the books and I'll destroy them because I won't listen to this. Like, I just know I'm right. I know that Israel is legitimate.
I mean, this guy is just insane.
He said he's tithing to the Jews, but he said it was $5,000 a month. So is his church only taking in $50,000 a month? Because it seems like a much bigger operation than that. So
I hope it's small, but
is he bad at math?
Probably doesn't know what tithe even means.
Yeah.
Especially since he's tithing to the wrong people. He's kind of tithing to the synagogue of Satan there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, could you convince Palestinians, Ben, to tithe?
The tithe is the Lord's. And in Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus Christ receives the tithe. So how are you sending it to Jesus Christ by sending it to the Jews that don't believe in Jesus? You know, because it says, like, there he receiveth tithes, you know, but here he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Talking about Jesus in Hebrews 7, like, receiving the tithe. So we're tithing to Jesus by sending it to
unbelieving
people who don't like Jesus? Like, how does that work?
He just receives these tithes of unbelievers.
Plus,
and so...
I'm questioning the math, too.
Well, there's a lot of questions there.
Because I mean, it looks like he's got a huge crowd. He's got a huge online thing going on. Like, I just find it hard to believe that he's... I think? I think he's skimming off the top, and he's not giving the Jews what he's supposed to be giving them.
You know
send
what?
Send them the full 10%.
That's the biggest problem here.
Put your money where your mouth is and send more money to Israel. It's not enough.
I mean, we got to get this temple started. I mean, how are we going to do it with 5,000 a month?
5,000 a month.
That's just like one stone.
Yeah, it's like he's not giving it everything, you know? Give the full 10%.
600,000, like, you know, wrong. He was just messing up the numbers.
Obviously, we need all worship.
Yeah, why
Jews.
Doesn't he at least send $6,000?
I mean,
it's supposed to have a six in it.
I thought it was like 6 million.
6 days war. there's the 6 days war, six pointed star, 6 million dead in the Holocaust, you know, $6,000 per month when we tithe to Israel, you know.
Might as well.
Your barcode needs to have a 666 on it, whatever you need, so.
Well, I just want to throw this into the mix because you guys were talking about how all these epistles are written to Gentiles. Well, one of my favorite verses that backs up replacement theology in 1 Peter chapter 2, written to Gentiles, says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." And then the next verse says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." Mm-hmm. What do they do with that?
I don't know what they do with Romans 2 either, when it just says, "He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly." It's like, what do they do with that verse? And I know people in my personal life that still believe this kind of stuff, this rhetoric that you hear from people like Greg Locke. And I'm saying, like, what do you do with this Romans 2? And then they just, you know, they just bring up, like, "All Israel shall be saved." And it's just like, there's just no answer.
You know, Greg Locke, he picked up his Bible, and he's, I don't know if it was in the clip or not, but he's like, "You know what? The deed for that land is right here in the Bible, right here." And I'm thinking, like, the eviction notice is in there too, buddy.
Exactly. Another, I like Philippians, where he says, "We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh."
The hatred for replacement theology is funny to me in context of this verse in Revelation, because it's like God kind of has a savage sense of humor. Because in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." So he's looking at a Gentile church, and he's talking about a Gentile church, and he's saying, "Look, I'm going to make it clear to all of these people that I replaced you with them." And it's like he's kind of rubbing replacement theology in their face. Jesus does the same thing, because he says, "You're going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sitting, and you're going to be cast out." And it's like he's rubbing replacement theology in the Jews' face again. And you even see kind of in a parable where he talks about how he's going to bring all these people that said they wouldn't have him to worship him and bring him before them, and he's going to slay them. And it's like he really wants to drive that point home so many places in the Bible, and you kind of wonder if it's just him a little bit anticipating the reaction of these people and like, "Hey, I've heard what you've said, and let me make it clear how I really feel kind of at the millennial reign of Christ and, of course, in all of eternity, great white throne judgment."
The spirit of Zionism is in all these churches. They believe in this stupid pre-trib rapture, which isn't true, and then they think that we should just worship and lick Israel's boots. And really, if a saved Christian believes that you know, that at the end they're going to see Jesus come back and then they're all going to get saved at that point, that's just them. Why are they like cheering for all these ones that hate Jesus right now, and yet they'll still say they're God's chosen people when they're not?
Absolutely.
Well, think of the end times implications of what Greg Locke is saying, though, because he's talking about how the temple needs to be rebuilt to bring in Jesus Christ, I think is the implication here. But the Antichrist will actually inhabit that temple. He'll set up the abomination of desolation. And Jesus Christ said, "You know, I'm coming in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." So the Jews, I think a large swath of them, will believe on the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
And then preachers like Greg Locke will say, "Oh, look, Romans 11:26 is being fulfilled before our eyes.
Look, it's just like we said, mass conversion of Israelites to the real Messiah." Because that's exactly what's
happening. All these replacement theology guys are terrible. Let's hunt them down and chop their heads off.
Yes. You first.
That might be true.